May it please the court.
Please proceed.
May it please the court. My name is Patrick McDonald, representing Bellevue Park Homeowners Association. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
All right.
In this case, the court is asked to reverse the trial court's order ruling to vacate its summary judgment order. The summary judgment that was vacated provided that the respondent was liable for unpaid condominium assessments, just like every other owner in a condominium. And the sole issue before this court is whether the judgment was properly vacated before CR 60B11. Now, this was not a complex case. It was a straightforward collection case for unpaid assessments.
How did it come about that Judge North actually even ruled on this motion? Did you inform Judge North that there was a direct appeal pending?
I was not at the hearing, but my understanding was Judge North entered the order to vacate the judgment, and then the respondent filed a motion in this court seeking permission retroactively to have Judge North sign the order.
Was it contested that Judge North should even be entertaining this?
My understanding was not brought up, but this court granted permission for Judge North to enter the order in the trial court. Retroactive.
After the horse was out of the barn.
Of course, after the order, yes, was. The respondent did not seek permission from this court first.
Let me ask you a more basic question. 60B11 can be called a catch-all, but it is severely limited in scope. And the plain words of the rule say that it has to be, there has to be extraordinary circumstances, not within control of the party.
Correct.
My understanding of the record is that Shelley versus Kramer was first raised in the motion to set aside the judgment. Is that fair?
That's correct. It was not raised in the response to the association's summary judgment motion.
Okay, and this is some 4 months after the judgment was entered and 2 months after the order of sale.
That's
following your foreclosure.
That's correct.
Okay, so what's your understanding as to why this fits within 60B11?
Well, with regards to the alleged discrimination, how it relates to B11, I don't think it relates at all. That's the respondent's defense to the association's claim for the unpaid assessments. She's alleging conduct on behalf of my client that somehow makes her not liable for the condominium assessments. That doesn't go to anything extraneous to the court's proceedings, and it doesn't go to the question of the regularity of the court's proceedings. That goes to the merits of the case. It goes to the substance of the case. She's saying, no, the lawsuit was discriminatory, therefore I'm not liable for the assessments, which is what you're claiming. It's clear, as the court noted, that CR 60B's purpose...
How far did the direct appeal get before it was stayed?
The briefs have not been filed to this point. And, of course, that appeal is pending resolution of this appeal. But the law is clear that CR 60B, the purpose is not to give parties a second chance to relitigate the case. The case law is very clear that the power to vacate judgments is limited to where the basis is something extraneous to the court's proceeding or goes to the regularity of the court's proceeding. And as the court noted, it is confined to extraordinary circumstances. This court has said it's intended for extreme in unexpected situations. In the Barr case cited in the association's brief, this court relieved a plaintiff from a judgment because the plaintiff's attorney suffered from severe clinical depression at the time. The court noted that the irregularity was entirely outside the control of the plaintiff, the defendant, and the court. In this case, there are absolutely no extraneous circumstances present, and respondent cites to none in their brief.
And were these arguments brought up to Judge North when he was hearing the CR 60B11 motion?
Correct, that CR 60B11 didn't apply.
Yeah.
These were brought up on behalf of my client, yes.
There were there's arguments that are being made here that rely on cases involving default judgments. Did he rely on those cases?
The respondent relied on those cases in her brief before this court, yes. And obviously,
what about in the trial court? I mean, I'm just trying to understand Judge North's mindset. Did he think he was dealing with a default judgment of some kind?
I can't imagine he did, because he was the one who ruled on the summary judgment motion. But the court raises a great point. This is not a default judgment situation. This was a contested case from the outset. The respondent obtained counsel, filed an answer to the association's complaint, filed a response to the association's summary judgment motion arguing discrimination, and Judge North ruled against her.
And it's a decision on the merits.
And it was a decision on the merits, correct.
If you had not appealed, Judge North's order would have mooted the case that we had before us.
Correct. It's not clear to me. In effect, what the respondent did was use a motion to vacate as a substitute for an appeal. Her motion is based on these broad grounds that the original summary judgment order was unfair and unjust. And she got Judge North to, 4 months later, reconsider what he had ruled on and revise it, essentially, and vacate it. But that's not a basis to vacate under CR 60B.
So and I guess it sort of functioned as a belated motion to reconsider in the trial court.
Very belated, yes. Very belated.
But that's what it most resembles.
I suppose you could characterize it as that, yes.
Okay.
But it certainly was too late to bring a motion to reconsider 4 months later. And in fact, Division 2 has ruled specifically that perceived unfairness is not a basis to vacate a judgment under CR 60B11. That is not, or those do not constitute extraordinary circumstances. If the losing party got to file a motion to vacate simply because they thought the ruling was incorrect or unfair or unjust, courts would be flooded with these motions more than they already are. And the law is clear that these motions to vacate cannot be used as substitutes for appeal. And as a result, the association respectfully requests that Judge North's order reversing or vacating the summary judgment order be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Melissa Huelsman for the Hoshinzadas.
So in the response to the summary judgment motion, did you raise this defense? Did you brief it to the trial judge?
So
not with all the same authority and not with all the same facts, but did you raise it at all to the trial judge?
The prior attorney did not. Well, let me be clear. There was not that case law, but the arguments regarding the bias were there. However,
there was no. They did not prevail.
Right? I'm sorry. I'm waiting for, to make sure you.
No, they did not prevail.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And so then they filed an appeal.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then, knowing the case was on appeal, you moved to 4 months later. You moved to vacate the judgment.
So, just to be clear. When you say you, you're referring to the plaintiff. I just want to make
referring
sure.
Referring to your part.
Okay, I just want to make sure because we had several lawyers involved, so that's why I was asking for clarity, Your Honor. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes, I was retained to file the appeal of that case, and so we had our appeal going. And then simultaneously, my client hired Mr. Adler, who then brought the motion over in state court. And so what happened was is we had – I would say the Hoshinzadas appeal going while they were simultaneously doing that, and he had not asked for the relief from the court that he should have asked for in order to pursue that motion.
Did the two attorneys know of each other's varying paths?
Yes.
Okay.
But talked about it. I don't want to. I'm trying to be careful about.
Let me ask it this way. We have an answer to the summary judgment motion filed.
Yes.
It apparently imperfectly, but nevertheless, raises the same defense as is briefed for this case.
Yes.
Summary judgment is granted, and there's an appeal taken. And one of the issues on appeal will unquestionably be, should the trial judge have granted the summary judgment motion?
Yes.
I think I can probably foresee that.
Yes.
So this is within that. What is the basis for this collateral proceeding at the time when the case is before us?
Well, part of the basis argued was to Judge North was, so there was motion practice before it even got to the point of the actual hearing on the motion to by Judge North under CR 60, because he allowed depositions to be taken of one of the board members in order to get testimony from a third party, and none of that had been done in connection with the prior motion.
None of that bothers us till you get to the part where an order's entered that moots the appeal that's in front of us.
I understand.
And start wondering what went wrong here.
Well, and I was simply pointing that out because that seems to be certainly very much part of what Judge North considered is when the original motion for summary judgment was done, let's just say the responsive briefing was lacking. And so there was this attempt by Mr. Adler to get deposition testimony.
But it happens all the time on summary judgment.
I understand.
We get people arguing if I'd only had more time, or the judge, I actually asked the judge for more time and he didn't give it to me. Yeah. Here we don't even have that. Right. We'll ignore the case that's in the Court of Appeals. That just doesn't matter anymore. We're going to pick up and start this case anew. That seems to be what happened here.
Well, certainly there should have been a request in the other case, to proceed with the CR 60 motion before it was
done.
That's
the problem. That's this case.
I agree.
It's not the other case. It's this case.
I understand.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It should have been done beforehand. I agree.
Let me go back.
That's what the law requires.
Let me go back to a more basic question. Why is this a 60B11 type of motion the court should have granted? Extraordinary circumstances not within control of the party. Tell me that.
Well, I mean, I think this one's tough in that it had to do with the inadequacy of the previous response and not having an opportunity to take a deposition of a board member to provide any corroborating evidence regarding the alleged discrimination. Certainly, the Judge North, when he granted the summary judgment motion, did have the previously filed action with the state regarding the discrimination. So he had that information. And he had some information from the Hoshinzadas regarding their statements regarding the alleged discrimination. But their argument essentially is that they should have been afforded an opportunity to get additional information, and then that's what Judge North allowed them to do, which then provided backup evidence regarding
And that's
the
an extraordinary evidence. Circumstance under the narrow limits of 60B11?
That was the position taken.
No, do you have a case that says that? Or any case similar that says that?
There isn't anything that's directly on point. I think the overarching argument really was that Judge North had failed to consider the true nature of the discriminatory actions by the Homeowners Association that were alleged in the other briefing and the import that has.
In other words, Judge North was asked and agreed that he should take some corrective action because he felt that he had made some mistake in the past.
I certainly think that the court could reach some of that conclusion given that, and I certainly think he was, I can't say that he wouldn't be influenced by the fact that there was additional testimony given by the board member.
Okay, so let me just understand what you're saying, that there were depositions that
a
deposition that occurred before the motion to vacate was filed?
Right, there was motion.
But after the summary judgment had been entered in the prior proceeding?
Yes, there was motion practice regarding allowing the taking of that deposition.
How could that be? I mean, in other words, this case is over, the original case. It's over. It's on appeal, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
A summary judgment has been granted, and it's appealed. So now people just start taking depositions?
So what happened is, I'm trying to remember the timeline, there was, I believe there was a CR 60 motion filed, and then in conjunction with that was a request to take this deposition.
Oh, okay.
And then ultimately the hearing, there was more substantive briefing after the deposition transcript.
Oh, okay.
And counsel will, I'm sure, correct me if I have that timing wrong, but I believe that was how it transpired, because I know that there was separate motion practice regarding the ability to take the deposition.
So did anybody make a motion to quash these depositions notices and say, hey, they don't pertain to anything this isn't possible?
There was certainly plenty of response. In other words, there was always responsive pleading is filed, and certainly a fight about whether or not the deposition should have been taken and whether or not the motion should go forward. And so there were certainly responses to all of them and arguments about it, and there was a few hearings held by Judge North on all of this.
And so in the hearings that occurred before the hearing on the actual motion to vacate, was there discussion and briefing about whether a CR 60 motion is even appropriate in these circumstances, or did that not come out?
Well, my recollection, and I'm sorry, I should know this by heart, but there was discussion regarding the appropriateness of it in light of the CR 60 motion. I don't think it was fully fleshed out, and that was when I was going through the record. That's my take on it, that it was not fully fleshed out, because that's why the court then allowed the deposition, and then there was more substantive briefing after that fact, which included, you know, all of the deposition testimony before them. So. Okay. It was a mess. It certainly was not normal. It's certainly not anything that I've ever had in any of my individual cases that happened. That's happened like that. I believe you've addressed the questions. I would just add that Ms. Hostenzada ultimately, though, is not saying that she wasn't liable for the assessments. It was merely that the arguments were being made, and I think more properly made in this forum, although I understand the procedural problems, that the litigation itself was an additional discriminatory act, that she was being treated differently than other homeowners in connection with the collection of these assessments in light of the fact that she only owed about $100 and some when this lawsuit was initiated, and that was part of this continuing course of conduct regarding of discrimination by the members of the board and other members of the homeowners association that did become more fully fleshed out when there was additional deposition testimony taken from the former board member. This was all discussed more generally in the initial responsive pleading to the summary judgment motion, certainly became more fleshed out. But I do just want to, in spite of everything else, I want to make the court clear that her position was not that she didn't have to pay any assessments at all, or she wasn't responsible. She was making ongoing monthly dues. It's just that she was being treated in a discriminatory fashion consistent with the longstanding actions of the board members of this association. Thank you.
Thank you.
First, if the respondent's position is that she's liable for the assessments, then I don't know why she brought a motion to vacate the judgment for the assessments. That seems to be an admission that the summary judgment was lawful and correct. With respect to the...
That's not even the question in front of us.
Yeah. That's true. And with respect to the admitted inadequacy of the response or the lack of a response brief to the court, to the association's summary judgment motion, that's not my client's fault. Maybe the respondent needs to talk to their previous attorney, but my client has nothing to do with that. I also want to clarify, I don't believe there was ever a request to the court to take a deposition after the summary judgment had been entered, but before it had been vacated. I may be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure there never was a request to the court. And just to touch on these allegations of discrimination, I think they're just a complete red herring. They have to do with events that occurred some 17 years ago and then some 5 years ago.
It sounds like you're starting to argue the merits that we would hear about on the appeal from the order granting the summary judgment. That if you have other things that you'd like to talk about, that might be more profitable, since we have not yet had called to our attention the direct appeal from the order granting summary judgment.
Right, Your Honor. Well, I just want to make it clear that there simply are no extraneous circumstances that would warrant vacating the judgment under CR 60B11.
I think we understand.
There hasn't been any, and we request that the order vacating summary judgment be reversed.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.